1010 WOLB, where information is power.
And now it's time for Tight Knit Movement Radio, the Tight Knit Movement Radio Show, where we inform our listeners about solutions and opportunities connected to our affiliate businesses and events. And now, your host for Tight Knit Movement Radio, Eartha Harris.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuning in to the Tight Knit Movement Radio Show. Sorry for the little delay. We have so many guests in studio today that I'm just so excited. Okay, today we have a very, very special, special guest, and I'm so excited that he's here, Mr. Larry Lancaster.
What's up, B-more?
Hey, Larry.
All right, all the church folk and all the Earth is political activist friends. What's happening? I hope I don't offend nobody.
You better offend all of them. You know we're coming up on election year. I just want you to give it to them. And I think we have our co-host online, Troy Rollins.
Yes, yes. What's going on?
Hey, Troy down there in Cali.
Troy Diesel.
What's going on, Larry Lancaster?
That's how you know Troy made it. He won't call nobody back. That's when you know.
He said he gonna call you back when he really made it.
Yeah, ten brother. You gotta talk to ten brothers to talk to him.
Say that again, Troy.
I said Larry on that Baltimore time. You know he changed his cell phone every 2 weeks.
So thank you. And then I want you to call him when we really, really make it. You know, right now we all right. But you know we're gonna get current.
We ain't there yet, Larry. I'm still on 95. I'm stuck in traffic. I ain't really in California right now.
Oh, you ain't. Oh, that's right. Cause you got to pick up our little co-host Zori.
Zori.
I'm sorry. You know I'm bad with names.
Zori, huh?
We train people early on this show. We try to get them coming out the womb. We know we got to catch up, Larry.
How old is Zori?
November 1st.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Cool. Y'all breaking all kind of child labor laws. Huh?
Hey, I told Troy we training early.
Y'all running a radio sweatshop around here.
That's right. Hey. And then we have Elaine Fordham.
Hey, hello.
Elaine is the owner of ISIS.
Hey, Elaine.
ISIS.
Come check her out. She's at 228 Park Avenue.
Open 7 days a week.
We can go down and have a little drink after the show?
Yeah, after the show.
All right.
Okay.
Before the show.
And then.
I normally don't drink this early, but that's what's up. I'm going to come through.
And we have an in-studio guest, and I'll let Larry introduce her.
Okay, we have the talented, the lovely, the beautiful, the charismatic, Melanie Barber.
Hey, hello, everyone.
And she's the author
Melanie.
Of a wonderful book, A Typical Journey. And I mean, you got to read this book because it's like a page turn. I'm not just saying this because she's here.
That's right.
She's here because I'm saying it. Because if it wasn't a good book, then I wouldn't even have been like, it's nice. I wish you well. You know how we do. We ain't got time for fakeness.
We got tightness. So she called me up last night, and we was on the phone for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking. You know I could talk.
Yeah,
yes, you
Eartha,
can.
Eartha,
yes,
hit you with 20, like you said. But Eartha, you saying. I ain't saying nothing.
But Melanie, that's why I got my own show, Melanie.
We talked about that last night.
And Troy,
right?
I know you hear that all the time. Like you said, you're like, Eartha, I ain't saying nothing for 20 minutes. You said.
But that's why I bring all my special friends.
I'm like, we didn't say nothing before.
Right.
Well, that's why you have to have friends to keep you. See, I got Larry and I got Troy to keep me in line so I won't have to do all the talking today.
Eartha's amazing. So.
Eartha is amazing.
Yes, she
amazing.
Will. She can handle it 100%.
Wow.
Thank you. So that's why I'm going to jump in right away with Melanie since we find out how amazing she is.
Right, right. So tell us about your book and the experience and...
Well, the name of the book is Atypical Journey, and I like to define atypical, and atypical is one word, and it means not typical.
Thanks for correcting me.
Yes.
Because I sure said atypical.
Atypical, right. I mean, atypical, atypical, whatever, but a lot of people like to separate, you know, the two, A and then typical.
Okay.
But the reason for the title is because it's based off of 10 true stories. And with each woman, none of their journeys are typical. Mm-hmm. So that's why I named it Atypical Journey. Right, exactly. This book, it came about, I think I've been working on it for about a year, give or take. Mm-hmm. And when I got fired, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to put it out there.
That's
so,
right.
And that's what happened, and that's how it was created. After I created, I met Howard G, and everybody knows him for the Kiss My Bumper commercial.
Correct.
And he was like, you know what? You need to go ahead and put this down, you know, put it on the stage. And I was like, oh, God, here we go, you know. But we did it. We are doing it. And the play is November the 2nd, and I am really, really excited because I think we pulled out all the stars. Evidently, we pulled out all the stars from Baltimore. Mr. Lancaster.
Yes, you did.
You know, so, and to see him transform from comedy to, you know, drama is really, really exciting. I think people will really appreciate that.
Well, I have seen that before because mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, Larry has been in plays before. So maybe he didn't tell you that.
Yeah.
Because you know I'm humble and I'm laid back and
stuff. So I want you to know that not only was he a star before he got to you, he had done several plays. And again, he's been in plays with a lot of talented people in Baltimore. Because like Larry said, we have a lot of talented people.
And I sponge off of all of them. I learn from them. And so hopefully, you know, people won't be disappointed. But the product is sensational. First of all, you have to get the book.
Okay.
And people kept telling me, Howard and Sheila was telling me, yo, you got to read the book. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, y'all exaggerate everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Once I read the book, I was up at like 3 o'clock in the morning coming in from working or whatever. And I actually went on the Golden Throne. That's where I do most of my reading.
Okay, so where did we get the book?
And my legs fell asleep. I was reading the book for so long. I was halfway through the book, ran out of toilet paper, legs were asleep. And I was still reading this book.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because the stories are incredible, and they get you right from the beginning. And each story is uniquely different. And some stories actually will bring tears to your eyes, honestly.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's an incredible story.
Yes.
You have some? Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
And where can they get the book? Is it?
Yeah, it's online. You go to online. A lot of people, they're on, what is it, the Kindle thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you get it on Kindle. You get it from my website.
Okay.
You know, it's there.
Is it on
Amazon,
mm-hmm.
It's on mm-hmm. Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, yeah.
Okay, now say the name of the book, because you know our audience, you got to repeat things 100 times.
Absolutely, I don't
really
have a problem with that.
Say
I don't have a problem
so
with that.
How many
it's an atypical journey. Mm-hmm. Or you could just look up my name, Melanie Harris Barber.
She got the hyphen.
And you can always call Tightknit because we keep our records and we will give you information back again. Our number is 443-655-7198, 443-655-7198. And if you want to call in to this evening, I mean, I'm sorry, this afternoon, I'm on the wrong time, you can dial us at 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. So, again, the play, mm-hmm. does it?
November the 2nd? Yeah.
So, the play takes place where?
At the Forest Park Senior Center. I believe the address is 4801
mm-hmm.
Liberty Heights Avenue. Right.
And it's going to be November the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Saturday at 6 p.m. And the admission price also includes dinner.
Right.
Wow.
So we're taking it back to the old dinner theater style where you can, you know, get dressed up, come and eat, one-stop shopping, be entertained.
Right.
And then hit a club afterwards that Eartha will take you to, one of the tight-knit clubs.
I got a couple of them. And that's on a Saturday?
Saturday.
It's on a Saturday. Actually, dinner starts at 5. So it starts at 5. The play starts at 6.
Right. So we got quite a few places. You know, the Fire My House is always jumping. Melva's is always jumping.
Eden's
Lounge is always. I mean, like I always
Isis
say, pick a place.
Jumping.
Isis is always jumping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how are we going to pick the Isis?
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Isis. Yeah.
Where are we going to get drunk after we leave?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we can get some 2-for-1. Like, wait a minute. Tightknit is also about, you know, benefiting from your resources. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we go where we get the best benefit. Isis might have to be the spot. Two for one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, this is so important, guys, for not just to hear the information, to really support. So I really want our listening audience, Tightknit listening audience, to wrap your head around going. That's one of the things that I'm trying to do with the show
mm-hmm.
is invite people to come out as a group, because a lot of times people just don't want to come out because they don't want to come out by themselves.
Right.
So we've been putting down events, and we first commit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to first be the first person
to commit.
Absolutely. So Elaine got that down on our schedule of things to do, right?
Yep.
So what we do, we invite you guys. If you don't want to go out by yourself, please call us. You can come with us, sit with us, get to meet us. Because a lot of times you are missing so many great things in Baltimore City but not coming out and supporting.
Sure. And that's a good point, Eartha, because I know for me doing comedy shows, a lot of people will say, well, I want to come, but I ain't want to come by myself and look like a weirdo. And
right.
I'm like,
that's why I tell you, we got to be about tightening group, guys.
You come out, you have a great time. And what people need to understand is that Baltimore has a tremendous wealth of talent. And then people try to say, we don't have a night. Like, there are plenty of things to do, but you have to be in the know.
That's correct.
There's no reason why we couldn't be a major market like D.C. or Atlanta or Chicago or L.A. or New York.
Mm-hmm. But add this, like, not only be in the know, be in the support. Redirect your dollars. Stop trying to be cheap. We cannot put on a play with everybody coming free. Everybody want a free ticket. Everybody want in free. I always thought that my friends and family should be the first one to pay. But they'd be the first one to call up. Girl,
exactly. Give me a free ticket.
I think Troy said something. What'd you say, Troy?
Yeah, I said, let me interject something in there. What's crazy is that Baltimore is considered a major market. It's just not always in our African-American demographic. So in California, when I talk to people of different nationalities, California, stuff like that, all of them talk about Baltimore, and all of them talk about some of the things they did there and going to the harbor and Fells Point. And the harbor still generates billions of dollars a year in revenue. That's why they continue to build stuff in the harbor and in the downtown area and switched over the downtown area and told off the downtown area. All that was a part of the plan. Our issue is that we, when we do an exodus sometimes, we pull away from certain areas. But, you know, we all know the years in past history of what happened to Pennsylvania Avenue over the past years.
Right.
But we can't let that stuff continue to happen. Now we have people like Elaine Fordham, who has something in the Historic Arts District, has a club in the Historic Arts District of downtown. We just need to show love and support it before everybody else does. We should be doing that. That's why I like what Eartha is doing with Tighten the Movement, because we can tie in, like you said, the big thing, Larry, is being in the know, and we try to keep one to know.
But how about that beautiful saying, if you can make it in Baltimore, you can make it anywhere.
You can make it anywhere.
anyway,
and I'm going to add another saying.
What?
Support is where you put your money where your presence is.
Yes.
But roaches can just show up.
Please. And we have, and that's what, like I tell you, Larry, I called the radio station because props go to Elaine and my other partner, Danielle. They're the ones that actually helped me fund the show to go for an hour. I was a half an hour, because I do believe in self-determination. So when I started off a radio show, I came and negotiated, because I said, I'm not going to get a show that I physically cannot pay for myself, because I didn't want to go on all these pipe greens. So I was on for a while, and everybody kept calling me, your show is great. You need to be about it. It's so short. I said, well, don't take my money.
Right.
Give me some money, I can go on all day long. this is why stories have to be told.
Sure.
But the people who stepped up were people that I did not know my life. I just met Elaine not too long ago. I just met Danielle. But some people, even if you don't know them, they understand your journey, because your journey is their journey. These two ladies are business people. They understood if somebody would just come to help them. Danielle had the chicken and waffle. And then she closed down because people really didn't, you know, come.
That was the place, Chamdenay's, right?
Yes.
I performed there before. But Troy, didn't we perform there before?
Yes, we did. We did a Valentine's event there, and a couple other things we were doing there. But we supported.
We were working with Brenda O, I think.
Yeah, but as much as we could, I had Brenda O there. I think we had, I always had bands and musical guests, so I forgot who I had there. But the food was tremendous.
Yes, it was. And the people were very nice.
Right. And again, Troy was one of the ones who first came on board when I did the show. He said, look, I'll be there with you. He created the promo and everything. So we went months for a half an hour.
Wow.
So when those two stepped up and gave us the money for a whole hour, then I've been on hold. I called the radio station. They told me, they said, you know, December you've been on for a whole year. I said, been a year? And a lot of people haven't even really heard the show.
It'd be one year in December.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I was telling Melanie how things have to work out for us, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we may not see it, but it's there. And the reason why a lot of people don't do it, because it's not going to be easy.
It's
not going to be easy.
We want everything instantly gratified.
Right.
But the instant part that I do see, my spirit, is like you said, look at all this greatness. Just the four of us right here. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say we just got to tighten up. We got to tighten up, guys. We got to look at it as, you know, dealing with the people that we know and dealing with the resources. Stop thinking that we have to go find some. I love it when Laurie just called me yesterday and to my mind, like, that's right, you could be the co-host.
Right.
I ain't got what you, and plus you, he, I say you have your own radio show. Mm-hmm. He has his own radio show. Right. So why should I be afraid that my show would not be able to carry on when I could just pick a phone call from my friends and say, look, I'm out of town. Somebody better do something.
Right.
Elaine sat in the studio for months. She's always been shy. Like, I don't know. Now she's co-hosting. Come on, Elaine.
She looked like she the director over there. She got her producer hat on.
She got her producer hat on. Come on.
You Oprah, that's little Gail over there.
And I love it. And then, like anybody, like you said, you're more than just the book you wrote, the play you wrote. If we have an opportunity to set a foundation, you may want to come and use these airwaves for whatever. Mm-hmm. And you feel like, well, I have friends that will help me, you know, communicate. That's important for us to have something for each other.
Absolutely.
I think, Troy, were you trying to get in?
No, I'm letting that roll, but I wanted to chime in and say Lane is supposed to be doing her rendition of I'm Every Woman.
Not yet, Troy. Later.
Not quite.
And I like the name of the club, which when I hear Isis, I think of Goddess.
That's what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
See? All these beautiful black sisters in here doing their thing, movers and shakers, and they fine fellas. They just got stuff going on, and they nice looking.
Wait a minute, we get the guys too now, Larry.
I know me and Troy get the shy stuff. Troy play the shy, silent type, but he, you know.
Wait a minute, I'm not stupid. I be marketing Troy all day long.
Yeah.
I be like, hey, look, the show is about, and I put his face up there, and then like, they be calling. I'm like, yes.
He's a cutie.
Mm-hmm.
Troy plays up on that, too.
Wait a minute, we had Jay Wendell Gordon on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jay Wendell Gordon came on studio and our first kickoff show for an hour.
Oh, Nestle Snipes.
And you talking about, yeah, he was in the, say that again, Troy.
I said, Larry, don't let them fool you. You give these sisters an opportunity to bone, boy. You know, ain't take on that table if you want to.
Right.
Wow.
One of the most successful events I do is an event called Ladies Choice. And I actually have an all-male fashion show, and the men come and they, you know, represent themselves, and the lady gets an opportunity to dance with them don't feel like they'd be rejected because, you know, I have to twist their arms and I make them present themselves like that. But a lot of times, you know, it does feel good, Larry, when we can come and look at your beautiful, handsome face and make
and
it
his
a
hair. Look at the
make
hair.
Make him blush over
everything.
And
because, you know, and I'm not putting this business out there, because some people are married and they have girlfriends.
Yeah.
So you have to create other avenues in which you get to share that person.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, I'm going to pretend like I'm having on a fashion show, and I'll tell his girlfriend, you know, I need him for I need Larry for a day. You know, we're going to have this fashion show, and we just use him to raise some money. So
right.
And you also have another affiliate. I think you're more involved with this when people realize Brothers Who Can Cook.
Brothers Who Can Cook.
Right.
Yeah,
that's another
great
good
event.
One, too.
Yeah. Now, the Brothers That Can Cook event came from Sister Ujima, who also felt like, well, because this guy might be an athlete, a singer, or a comedian, the way we can highlight them, we'll have them make their favorite dish, because a lot of men cook.
Right.
So we have the men make their favorite dish, they come, and then we go walk around, have a taster, and that is a beautiful event. So I love Brothers Who
Can Cook. So does the dish have to be handmade?
It has to be handmade.
But I got to figure out how to make some edible underwear. That's my favorite dish right there. I'm going to come. I'm going to show up with a platter and some edible underwear on it.
Oh, my God.
I'm a cheat.
We got to be creative.
So when is this, Eartha?
It's every year, and we do it, let me see. It's in May. It's the last Saturday of the month in May.
LA.
So we'll be on the radio, so we'll definitely be talking about that. But meanwhile, since you're saying that, let me get into some upcoming events. Today at the new Five Mile House, we always have live entertainment. Larry has performed there before,
I was just there last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, last week. And what they do is they try to provide the community with some live entertainment, because that's another area that people say that's missing. So you can come. They usually have a comedian and a live band. That's from 6 to 9. The admission is $15. But with that admission, if you wanted to, you can stay for the live broadcast. The live broadcast is really actually Conan's event. It's hosted by Randy Dennis and DJ Biscuit. So a lot of people like to get the dance on. So you can.
Well, that's going
to
be a hot event.
That's going to be a hot event.
Grown and sexy all the way.
And then I love the cultural community. We have some African dancers coming October the 26th. They're coming as far as from Senegal, South Africa, and they're going to have a fall dance festival. That's going to be October the 26th. It's going to be from 3 to 9. It's going to be at the UB Blake Center. So come out if you love some dancing, some African drumming and that. And one of our tight-knit members, Marcel Russell, is having an event November the 9th. And about we're going as a group. So if you want to join us, again, you can reach us at 443-655-7198.
So what's the event he's having?
Marcel is going to have his own concert. He's have a new CD release. And do you have the location of where that's going to be?
Awesome new CD. It's I believe it's in Chesapeake. I have to, but you can go into marcelrussell.com. It's MarcelRussell. So it's marcelrussell.com. But his new album is called The Serenade and the Sermon.
And for those of you guys who don't know, Marcel Russell, it was the front man for Marcel and the Truth.
Right.
Formerly of Marcel and the Truth. And I mean, if you've never got a chance to see this guy perform, it's amazing. I mean, you're not only entertained, he's a spiritual brother. You learn something, you come away like, oh, that is such a great time, and I want to be a better person. How many times can you say you had an experience like that?
Right. He was in a studio and he blew us away.
Yeah. He's tremendous, tremendous. And I had the pleasure of being in this video, Baggage.
Yeah.
Yes. Larry
was in a Baggage video with D-Ho.
Yeah, my man DeJuan, right? And we had a great time, man. It was a great concept. The concept was really wonderful. Like, you know, if you met somebody and they had a bunch of baggage, how can you guys help each other with the baggage? And he had a saying at the end of the video where he was saying, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it was like, we all have baggage. I'm just trying to find somebody to help me unpack.
And that was deep. Wow.
That was good.
Melanie, that sounds like another book.
Right. And it actually reminds me of her book, because a lot of these women had certain things to them and how they've gotten over it and how they try. Now, what interests me is, how were you able to publish your own book?
Well, I went through Create Space, and, you know, which I thought was, I'll say it's two ways. When you do self-publishing, it can be hard because you got to find how can you get it out to the public, you know, so you don't have that platform like, you know, the regular, you know, publishing companies. But I enjoy it because I'm able to do my own thing with it. You know, I'm able to sell my book, whatever price I want. I don't have to go by the standards that, you know, the publishing companies want you to go by. And I'm just able to have, you know, fun with it and open my own audience up with it.
So it gives you more independence.
Absolutely.
And more creative control over over your product. So how does that process work? Is it a website? Do you call up?
Yeah,
like for anybody that wants to do their own book, tell them how to get started.
Yeah, CreateSpace. It's a lot of different self-publishing companies out there, but CreateSpace is actually through Amazon. You know, so you could go through Amazon to get to CreateSpace, or just go to CreateSpace. And what they do is they have packages. So depending on what you want, you choose your package, and then you just go from there. You know, of course, it's based on the number of pages. Do you want a trailer? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know, so, you know, the process, all in all, it took about 120 days. Yeah.
They put the book together. Wow. So you send them the pages that you wrote. Do they edit it?
They edit, yeah.
And put it in, like, form for
you. You find the cover that you want, you know, the picture or whatever. They put it all together as a package.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Now with a project like that, do they have some type of non-disclosure agreement? So if you send in your intellectual property to them, and then next thing you know, it's on a big screen, how do you protect yourself from that?
Well, you do. You have to, you know, sign an agreement, you know, so, yeah. got to protect yourself, and they got to protect themselves.
Right. But the beauty of it is that information, Larry, because like you said, I know I would love to write a book. My first thing is just getting the patience to sit down and actually write some paper. But because of technology, I'm just going to pick up a mic and speak and have one of them things that types for you. And
I'm actually in the process of writing a book, too.
See,
I'm only on page 6, but I'm doing it.
But you're doing it.
But it's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. I know. For years, I even was joking, because I like to joke, too. I said I was going to write a book called I Ought to Write a Book.
And it's going to be 120 blank pages.
procrastination. Oh, because it's funny. Like you said, everybody has a story.
Absolutely.
And then my next big journey is that I am a co-chair of the Million Man March, and I wanted to write a book where it gave some stories about men who went to the march. I think that's a great story, because we have millions of stories within that concept. So those are the opportunities. But like you said, to get with people, I don't believe in women, get with people who have already written bits. Right. Troy has also, he has a book out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Troy, what's the name of your book?
Your Truth.
So he's gone. What's the name of the book?
I think it's The Naked Truth.
Naked Truth.
Hello?
What's the name of your book?
Butt Naked Honest, Conversational Foreplay for Dating.
See?
Oh, wow.
And tell us a little bit of what's that about.
Well, as Larry and other people know already and mentioned, I've been doing comedy and producing shows for years. I actually believe most people think it's shocking when I say it, but I'm 38 now, so it's been 20 years I've been producing shows. Mm-hmm. So I think it was 2004 I started. I've worked with several authors. That's why I like to hear Melanie's story as far as being an independent author, because I've worked with I'm working with my fifth author now that I've actually taken the time to help them go through the process of producing their own book and on marketing and promoting. And Larry knows, and Eartha especially, like Melanie said, it takes a lot when you take somebody from independent to the public knowing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So since I produce shows and events, I would always tie them in. And I started doing working with an author named Yonder, and with a book called What I Do Is Taboo, erotic fiction like Zane or some of the other authors that did erotic fiction. And what I saw is that when we did the book signings in like Mondawmin and Mall, Owens Mills, people were standing there for 2 hours, some of to buy the book, but most of them wanted to tell their story, like, shoot, I got a story.
Mm-hmm.
I went through this and that. And being comedians, we're used to embarrassing ourselves, and we have no need for a filter, you know, so we're already pretty transparent. Whatever happens in our life, I let you know. So, you know, women come up, why would I get with my man and he gets home and I try to do this and that? Why are you acting? I was like, well, in his mind, he probably still at work. So you doing whatever you're doing to him at the door, you're doing at work. Let him deprogram before. And I'm telling him stuff that I would normally say to anybody, and mostly on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped back one day and said, you know what? We need to make this a forum, because people want to not only buy a book, like Melanie was saying, not only have experience in buying the book, they want to have experience with you. They want to get more personal. They want to get open.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the Taboo Talk Tour. And it went from the back of Carl Weber's bookstore, Urban Knowledge in Mondawmin Mall. And by the end of the year, we were in front of 1,000 people in the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how about when we went to Vegas? He did the show.
That was years late. That was this year. I did my first show in Vegas in April and at the Tropicana. But the forum, it took a life of its own. And you know, Larry, and just like I say, we don't know what our niche is going to be in comedy, our voice is going to be, and how it's going to turn out. It just so happens that me opening up the forum, and I bought. We got together, me and Larry. It was funny. Every Valentine's Day, me and Larry end up getting together somehow in Baltimore. We got together this past Valentine to do an event in Baltimore, and did the same thing. And once you find your niche in the art and the craft, what you do is what you do.
Right.
And people signature to you for that. That's why I've never been intimidated to work with it. I mean, because most business cats, I just say for what it is, this cat just wouldn't get on the stage with Larry Lancaster. Because they think if Larry going to stage for them,
talk about him.
Oh my lord, oh my lord, this time I'm going to follow Larry Lancaster. Doing comedy over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, he's seasoned in what he does. He's amazing. Like you said, he's an amazing actor, does all this stuff. But so my book, Butt Naked Honest, Conversational Foreplay for Dating, which is actually a series now, I'm working on the second book, Her Butler, His Maid. and it talks about servitude with gratitude. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, in the midst of a relationship, you can find out what's going on. If all of a sudden it goes from our stuff to his stuff and my stuff, mm-hmm. you're about to have a problem. Because all of a sudden you stop having gratitude in the things y'all were doing for each other at the beginning. But it became that because I started seeing, now my show is raw and cut, or it can be raw and cut clean. I'm celebrating the 1 year anniversary of my raw and cut clean show in San Diego, which is for the church folk and people that just don't want to hear all the crazy stuff.
Right.
I want to ask the exact same question.
Mm-hmm.
So
why is that
I
always?
Keep it clean. Oh yeah, because relationship is a relationship is a relationship.
Right.
So same stuff. No matter what culture, no matter whatever. So butt naked honest. And people can go online and get it in Amazon. And now, if they go to Barnes & Noble, they can order the book from the store because Barnes & Noble bought the book here in Burbank.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's in, and I tell people, any authors out there, any people that, and Melanie included, if you ever want to call me and get some information, and I have a marketing promotion company, I tell people how to take the strategy from going from independent in the limelight so that publishing companies want to publish your book.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. Because I was listening to D.A. Hooley yesterday, and he says one of the best-selling books is any book that men want to... wait a minute. He said the best-selling book is any book that men want to tell about men. You know, like if us women want to, well, why do men act like that? What's the problem? He said those are the hottest-selling books right now.
Because most of the time... women asking other women.
Well, he said most of the time women
are. That's what made our tour so successful. Yeah. It wasn't the fact that we were just talking about sex, love, relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that two men, not only men, two black men in Baltimore, where the demographic in Baltimore City was 70% African American, 69% African American, were talking about sex, love, relationships. And I don't do the battle of the sexes BS.
Right.
Right, but he was saying like most women go to church to find men. Most women go this place to find men. So if you're ever looking at women, women are always in search of this so-called right man. You know, where am I going to find a good?
Even when they act like they ain't.
Right.
Even when they say I'm just trying to find me, you trying to find you so you can find a man.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You're in the market.
When the man's supposed to come to us, though.
I'm trying to be the best me I can be. Right. So you can find a good man.
One girl said that she read on Facebook that you know somebody said, well, you can find a good man at the supermarket. So she said she ran upstairs and got dressed.
I'm going to put you on hold 1 second. So if you don't hear me, I'm not gone. I think our special guest is trying to get in touch with me. So I'm
okay.
Yes.
Okay,
Troy.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, but a lot of times what happens is women come from their frame of reference, and it's always good to have a conversation with a man who's going to be completely honest with you. And it's not always the man that you're currently involved with or someone who's interested in you, because once the dynamic of a romance happens, then you start becoming who that person wants to be.
Right.
But when it's a platonic person or someone that is really going to be honest with you, because it's not an easy conversation to have. And a lot of times you're going to hear stuff that you really don't want to hear.
Right.
But I think life is not easy. And I think each individual person has to dissimulate how they have received information. Because if you grew up in a religious way or even a loose way or whatever. So first you got to determine that, because say like people think just because I love you and you're supposed to be my boyfriend or whatever. Who in the world said that? Maybe you could just love a person, but does that define that person has to have some part in your life where it's supposed to be your boyfriend, your husband? Won't you say, now, Larry, I love you. Now, because I love you, now I have to define what I'm going to do with that love.
Mm-hmm.
Whether me and you just going to be friends, whether me and you see each other when we see each other. But in this world, the majority of us, we have been trained in the United States that when you find somebody that you feel love about, then you have to start determine what that's going to be in a relationship for.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of good men in my life because I've learned that just because I love someone doesn't have to have...
Let me find the Afrocentric player.
Not only that, I'm a player.
Let me find out Earth the old natural handcan player.
Wait a minute, I'm going to give you another one. My friends and them say, look, you know what? I'm going to start wearing my hair like that. Because when I go places, all the guys always come up to you. I said, when I found out it was in my hair, they was looking at, I stopped doing it. Because that's not really what they're all interested in. A lot of women think that when a man is really looking for you to be in their lives, I still say the basics, people want you to help them. They want you to help them first, like you said, with your love. If you really care about me, like Larry said, then help me. You should be the first one to show up at my show. You should be buying my tickets. You should be getting me in contact. I love the fact that when I first met Larry, I had the opportunity because I was doing big shows. I called him up and said, hey, Larry, we're having Mike Epps. You're going to be the one open up for Mike Epps. And people always ask me to this day, how did Larry get it? Because that's how it works.
Right.
And I felt as though even back then, Larry was always talented in this town.
Right.
He was a what was it, correction officer?
Correction officer.
And he kept everybody there laughing. So I already knew.
I'm going to tell the story because Earth is not telling the story correctly. First of all, Earth is always on her activist mode. So she was trying to help a good friend of ours, Michael Johnson, keep his venue.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right? And we were doing a benefit show because they were going through the art district and they were trying to basically move all the black businesses out to make way for other people.
Other people. Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to stay there. So we were trying to help him stay there. And it was actually the old Odell's building.
Yep. The
right?
old Odell's.
So that particular weekend, it was an ice storm, one of the worst in history. So, of course, the turnout was low. But we had a great time. A lot of people came for the weather, but it wasn't what we anticipated. So she hired a comedian to close out the show. He will remain nameless.
Eartha to the people.
Eartha gave him a deposit because Eartha is one of the most best businesswoman. She's very shrewd, but she's honest and sometimes to a fault. She paid the guy half his money. Right? God didn't show, didn't make good on it or nothing. It was an event that we had for 2 days. So I had to host and headline the event. And because we ain't make enough money, Eartha took, and me and Eartha ain't know each other from Adam at this time. We were just meeting. Eartha went to the bank machine, got her own money out and paid me. And we've been tight ever since. And anytime Eartha calls me, I'm there for her. Anytime I call her, she there for me. And it's rare that you meet people like that. And that's what life is about, relationships. Right. And I think that's what Eartha was alluding to.
And what I was also, like, now he refreshed my memory. The gentleman that I put the deposit on, I showed him that, look, I already am tight with somebody. I'm trying to give you an opportunity.
Right.
Because I got a guy that not only can carry your part, but he's going to carry his part. And I'm going to give him your money. And that's what I think at that time I was feeling like, well, some people, they mistake. You know, like I said, I didn't know them. That's why I probably, somebody recommended that particular comedian. And they told me he was the best of his. So I did give him a deposit, right? But I kind of.
And I got on Eartha. I said, Eartha, listen, next time you call me or you call somebody that you tight with that know these guys, that know the system. Right. And that's why people always say, why you always use Larry? Why you always use it? And Eartha is very loyal. The same thing people probably ask, why Troy?
Right, right.
But once she understands who you are and your spirit, even aside from the talent,
right,
then she gonna stick with you because she know we gonna protect her and know we ain't gonna let nobody get over on Eartha again.
Right, because again, guys, I believe
she is lovable though, isn't she?
Yes, yes.
And I'm glad that one of our other special guests walked
Speaking of relationships.
You know what I'm saying?
You got my best friend in the house.
Howard G is in the house.
Yeah, how you doing? How y'all feeling?
Oh, I knew he was going to do that. Howard want to be a sex symbol so bad.
Well, you listen to the Love Jones.
Man. That's why he always have his shirt buttoned down to his navel. You can see his little nappy chest hairs and his gold chain.
Tell him, Howard. Jealousy.
Okay, we have the producer. And screen, what you call it? The screenwriter, because you adapted the book for the stage.
Right.
So Howard is wearing many hats, and this is my friend, my man, Howard G in the building. Y'all, we're on hand claps.
Hey, Howard.
Yes. So you guys got to come out and see the play. A Typical Journey. I read the book.
Atypical Journey.
It's a clinical term.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been corrected. She gets so upset because I said a typical journey. Like it's just a typical journey.
Yeah, just a journey. That's
right.
All
it's just it's something that women go through and they make bad decisions.
No, it's not.
That's how men look at it. It's a typical journey for the average woman because y'all make bad decisions.
Keep them straight. That's your role to keep them straight. But go ahead.
Yeah. Atypical
journey.
So I read the book and
my mic on.
Hello, Mike. Check once. All right.
You're on.
And so I read the book and like people around me, once you start reading a book, you cannot put it down.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I told her, you know, I can help you turn this book into a stage play. I said, really, it's supposed to be a movie. It's more like a movie, really. Mm-hmm. But I said, I'm going to adapt it. I'm going to make some things happen. And I'm going to make this into a stage play because my skill is writing. Unlike, you know, Larry, Eartha don't think I'm funny. So that's why I don't ever do nothing like that. So. But she do know I can write and I can read and I can produce. So
that's right.
I stay in my lane. You know, I might not do none of the Eartha gigs or I might not be on none of the gigs, but I will be able to write.
You know, you do my charity gigs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
I think we got Troy back.
Yeah. Oh, Troy back.
Yeah, we got Troy.
He puts
back.
More minutes on his phone. Okay. And so, yeah.
Who,
what's up, Troy?
You know who that is, Troy. You should know that voice.
Troy,
that's
your father.
It's
your father, boy.
Oh, it's my father.
That's right. What you doing in L.A., son?
You got some payments. You got some back.
Come home, son. Come home, baby.
You still want to be
your mama miss you, boy. Come home.
Child support.
Come home. Your mama miss you.
Let me say this. Hey, but just send them payments so I can get a flight.
I give you a buddy pass.
Let me do this because we got a lot of comedians on the phone, but I got my special guest calling from Los Angeles via Atlanta via North Carolina right now, so I got to put her on the phone. And Larry Lancaster and Howard G, you know her. You love her. She's a great friend of mine. She helped me. She really helped affirm me when I got here to Los Angeles and helped me with my radio show. And now she's doing wonderful things. She's on Tyler Perry's For Better or For Worse, plays Jennifer, comedian Coco Brown.
Oh, Coco, my goodness, my Coco.
Girl. Hey, what's up, family?
Wow.
This is a reunion.
Yeah, reunion,
this is definitely a reunion.
Once again,
God
Coco
is good. As they say, God mm-hmm. is good.
Coco, we are so proud of you. You know me; I always send you messages on Facebook and tell
I
you how
know.
Proud of you
Thank
are.
You,
and, and I appreciate your work you're doing. Tell Tyler holler at me. I'm a good writer, girl. I need to write for his shows, girl.
Okay.
And I remember up late one night seeing a Progressive commercial, and I saw it like six times and didn't know it was Coco until I just looked at it like, yo, that's Coco. And I texted, I was like, yo, I see you, baby. You doing your thing.
Yeah, right. Thank wow. you, baby. Thank you. I'm trying, honey. I'm trying. This big, bad city they call L.A. I ain't gonna lie. It's crazy. Like, I moved from B-more and I never came back. I'm like, damn, it's like a vortex.
Right. Right.
I be trying to come back to the 410 and they were like, they don't want me back. I'm like, dang, where the love at?
Bring you back the right way. We're gonna put together a show and bring you back the right way.
Right. We gotta have that money up, Coco.
Huh?
We gotta have that money up. It ain't that we don't love you. We gotta have that money up.
Those stacks.
Yeah, that's true. Because you went out there and called me 3-4 times. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna need you to call me back. Yeah,
right.
Zero, that number.
We can barely afford you when you was here.
Like, you sure you can't get a bus here?
Like, you're them overseas. You sure you can't get a bus overseas?
Right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, every time you were trying to put me on a Greyhound bus, talking about this first class, though, I'm like, really though.
So for better or worse, how's that going, Coco? Y'all, it was his second season, right?
Mm. We actually just shot the third season. We just wrapped 100 episodes. We shot 55.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'll tell you what, Tyler Perry puts y'all to work, and he gets the best. He gets some of the best people that can do the industrial strength. Cause I think it's like Howard knows, and Melanie's learning, and Larry knows, it's that play mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing plays, mm-hmm. you do so many of them that he came with, I guess, with that mentality to say, okay, we're going to keep producing until we can't produce no more.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, what we do at Tyler Perry Studios is, like, unheard of in Hollywood. I mean, and what's so funny is they're trying to pattern themselves mm-hmm. after Tyler now. You know, it used to be, like, you could take a whole week to shoot one episode. We shoot 2 episodes a day, 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
y'all. And we're in by 6:30. We're home by 6 p.m.
And that's definitely a play mentality because when you're doing it that way, you have to have people who are confident in their own abilities right. and can think on their feet.
I mean, trust and believe, a lot of people would not be able. There have been seasoned actors who've come and done guest stars on our show, and they're like, how in the devil do y'all do this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And
they're just overwhelmed.
And awesome. For those that may not, I don't know how you may not know the show if you're black and they don't know about Tasha Smith
cable.
And Michael John Walker. Right, right.
I was going to say that.
Like, look, if you don't get on, you know, so it's,
Right now, Tyler Perry Studios, for those that don't know, also worked a deal with OWN. So you still have stuff running on CBS, CBS and OWN, right?
Yeah, he still runs his reruns of House of Pain and Meet the Browns on TBS because, you know, they bought the whole 100. But midway through our contract, Oprah bought us, you know, so now all of our reruns play on, she bought the whole gamut of For Better or Worse. So we're over there now completely.
Let me ask you something. Coco, is it true that Tyler is a perfectionist? Like, things got to be on time. They got to lines got to be direct. Boom, boom, boom. He's like,
No. Tyler, you know, Tyler is he's a perfectionist in the mode of demands respect, and he demands you respect everyone that walks in that building. I mean, you will respect everyone in Tyler Perry Studios, from the chick cleaning your room to him. Mm-hmm. There is no one's above anybody. We are
That's right.
All here for the common good. Mm-hmm. And so some people may come into that and think, you know, well, why do I got to respect the chick cleaning my room or whatever? But, you know, it's a respect thing. And I mean, I think it sets the precedence that when I go to other productions and I shoot other projects, that I take that, you know, etiquette with me, that there is just a respect, you know, and people are always saying, Coco, you're so sweet, you're so nice, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, it's a precedence that's set that we're family over there, you know. I talk to my castmates when we're not filming. I mean, I was just on the phone with Tasha a couple of days ago, you know what I'm saying, I hang out with Kiki, and you know, and Michael Jai is going to teach my son karate. I mean, this is our family. Is that about perfectionism? Because he allows us to make the characters our own. We don't have to be married to the script. Mm-hmm. It's like he told me first season, Coco, I trust you're funny.
Right.
So it's like, if you find a line that could be made funnier, go for it. If I don't like it, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and half the time, you know, I was watching episodes Wednesday and was laughing at how much of my improv ended up in the final cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the respect he gives you. But if you respect him, he respects you, and he respects your grind, he respects your talent. And you know, a lot of people, you know, they want you to come in and do what they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Tyler wants you to make it your own. He wants it to be believable and realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's able to do it with that formula.
Right.
Because that's the only way something
like
that works.
Because there's no pressure. Even though there's pressure to shoot that many, I mean, when you've got 8 scripts sitting at your door on a Saturday night that you've got to learn by Monday morning, it can get a little overwhelming.
Right.
But the pressure of knowing that stuff verbatim is off of you, because he'd rather you be natural and realistic than worried about, did you skip a the?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's very good, because a lot of times, like you said, married to the script, one of the things you find out in Hollywood, especially if you're working with people that don't understand bringing somebody in like a comedian, you know, some of the best directors like Ron Howard and people like that, and anybody that's worked with Tom Hanks or Robin Williams, or even as far as working with somebody like even Eddie Murphy or Will Smith. Yeah, you have to, or Bernie Mac, especially Bernie Mac, you know, you hear about them when they talked about Ocean's movie, where sometimes they would just let Bernie flow. It might not have been a whole bunch of lines.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
His slow comedic timing is what you're trying to achieve when you're a writer.
Right.
And if you have a comedian that has that timing, why not let him flow?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, like Tyler told me, he was like, the one thing about you, Coco, is that when I saw your act, because he saw me a year before I auditioned for this show, and initially I auditioned for Jill Scott's character, and Why Did I Get Married, I auditioned for Sheila. And when he saw me audition, it made him go back and rewrite the character of Jennifer based on my stand-up.
Wow.
And he goes, he did that for a reason, because he wanted me to bring that energy, that timing to the show, and to also set a precedence for the comedy of the show. I mean, he would tell my other castmates, follow Coco.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be like, oh my God, you know whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was an honor that he trusted my funny like that.
That's right.
You know, and now to see my other castmates find their funny and embrace their funny, you know, it's like I feel like a proud mama sometimes. Because I'm like, wow, I set the tone here.
You set the tone.
And it's awesome. I set the tone. And it's like, now I just sit back and let them run with it. And I just make my little comment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool, this is great.
But I feel like Howard G., you're like a Tyler Perry to me, because I still remember when Tyler Perry first started out. out. Like he said, he didn't start out big like that. He started off small. And Howard G done went from commercials to doing his own plays to comedians.
Oh, yeah.
You always have a good relationship with the people you work with. I know.
Not like you, Coco. I'm trying to get there, though. I'm trying to get the residual, progressive residuals you get.
Let me interject and say this, because I know we're running out of time, but I want Coco to mention, since it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Coco is in North Carolina about to do a phenomenal event. It's the second annual, and she's been involved with them since their first annual. Tell us more about the event tonight in North Carolina.
Say what now?
The event you're doing tonight in North Carolina?
No, I'm actually in West Palm Beach, Florida.
I'm
in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm hosting.
I was talking to you this morning when you were in North Carolina.
Right. I was in Charlotte, and I am doing this. It's the second annual Pink Strides Breast Cancer Fundraiser and Fashion Show, and I did it last year, and it was absolutely amazing. And you know, all the women who were survivors and the families of the people who had passed, and you know, just raising awareness of breast cancer, and you know, realizing that it's a village. You know, you have to have that support system. And they enjoyed me, and they brought me back for the second annual one this year, which I'm really excited about. And you know, it's really touching, because there were women there that are not here this year. They succumbed to the disease. And, you know, it's so powerful that all the women, I mean, last year it was hundreds of women and their families, and it was such a love fest that, you know, I just felt so empowered by these women, you know, who were walking around bald or, you know, had double mastectomies, and they were just so, you know, strong and resilient and positive and blessed to be alive. And, you know, it makes you really sit back and look at yourself and go, why am I complaining? I have my health, I have my hair, I have my breasts. Why am I tripping right now? And to be around such an incredible energy, when they called me to come back and do it, I was so honored. And I mean, it's a fashion show, you know, and they have everything from the little kids all the way up to the older people, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And you know, I'm doing comedy in between, and you know, it's a great event. And if anybody is listening and is in the West Palm Beach, Miami area, please come. It's $40. It's for a great cause. It starts at 8 o'clock tonight. They have incredible vendors, because it's at the convention center, and they have incredible vendors. Last year, I copped a really nice Coach bag. And
what's the website, or how can people get in touch with you to get more information?
They can Google Pink Strides, and it's the organization that does it, under Vanessa Robinson, who is a breast cancer survivor, twice breast cancer survivor, and she has formed this, and it is an absolutely amazing event. And if you're in the West Palm area, it's at the West Palm Beach Convention Center right on Okeechobee, and it starts at 8 o'clock. It's $40, but it's for such a great cause. Come get your laugh on. Bring a little bit of change, because there's going to be some great vendors. And look at the great fashions. I mean, they had everybody there, from, you know, people who are actual designers all the way down to, like, Ashley Stewart and Lane Bryant. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, you had everything, you know. And, you know, I just want people to come out and support it. We have to bring awareness to this, because there are women out here who are battling this, and they need your support.
Because I just want to add this. If you cannot make it there, this is National Breast Awareness. So even in your city, I know here in Baltimore, we have a lot of events going on, too.
A couple of walks going on.
We got the Ravens. Right? They're going to be in pink.
Sunday. Mm.
So just look for any event within your area, because, like Coco said, this is a very important issue. And I know Lane was talking about it last week. So we're here in Baltimore. We're definitely in support of it. And I really appreciate you coming on.
I just want to make sure Coco gives the information, because we're running out of time.
I just want to say one more thing to Coco before she leaves. One thing I want to say. Coco, if you can, tell Tyler to do this. You know how Oprah always do a big own special report, and everybody tune in to her show when she does a segment with, you know, Kardashian or somebody like that? Tell her she need to do this. Get Tyler Perry and Spike Lee and let them have a talk. I guarantee her ratings will go off the chain if she could get them two together and let them just settle their differences and just speak with their minds. She'd be the mediator.
Right. I'm going to call her.
Tell her to do that. Right, I guess her ratings will go off the chain. Spike can do it. I don't know if Tyler will do it, but I know Spike will do it. So that's an idea I just thought of.
Okay, yeah, I'm a call Oprah. I'm a call 411.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to speak German. Meanwhile, come on.
Drop that in there.
And also, me and Troy, when Troy gets here, we're going to have a van, and me and Troy going to go around and do mobile mammograms for all the ladies.
That's right.
And we're going to call the Fields on Wheels.
Well,
in that case, we're going to get a van, and we're going to go do what? The prostate thing?
No, I just want to say, I want to.
Troy said, I ain't gonna be part of that. Coco was like, man, how you gonna come at Amazon?
Wait a minute, Coco. I'm gonna keep everybody focused. I'm gonna go get some money, and we're gonna bring you here to Baltimore. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's
what
we're doing.
Anniversary.
Okay. That's right.
I'm gonna bring you here.
Yeah. I've been gone. 10 years, and I've yet to be back. So
okay, so that's
going to
be the Tight Knit Movement.
That's right.
Tight Knit Movement going to bring you here to Baltimore.
And I better be on that show.
And it's going to be featuring Larry Lancaster, Howard G, and the. You just name your family, and I got to find them for you, Coco.
Let me
you
tell you something. I worked with Coco last year.
We on the phone with two of them, so make sure they're on the show.
So we got two, and then I'm gonna find the rest, and we're gonna. But remember,
that's Troy Houston. He's a great host.
Wait a minute, no question.
Wait a minute, Coco. Let me get everybody focus, because we got to find it like this. First, we're going to find the money. Then we're going to find your family, because we got three of them right here. And then we're going to promote, because I would love to have you here. So that's
okay,
going to be our
goal. Okay, more still to be more than I need to wash for money, so just reach out.
Okay.
And look, that's funny. Wash your money, right? Because you know it's some hustlers that still do coke for rent. Hustlers know some drug dealers washing their money through the lyric in the mile.
Right.
Easy.
That's an easy one.
He said ready to play.
Right. And the ready to play. Oh, my God. She remember that. You had to fill out an OSHA claim to perform at arena to play.
Trust me. I got paid one night and smelt my money and was top of 3 days.
Oh my God.
So we got 5 minutes, so I'm gonna wrap it up so I can get Howard to tell us one more time how we can come out and support them. But go ahead, Troy.
Let me make sure that Coco gives her information before we start here. Coco, let people get in touch with you on Twitter and your website and everything.
Right. They can always find me on Twitter at CocaBrown22, and that's COCOA Brown22. They can also find me on Instagram under Coca Brown World. And always remember, Coca is COCOA. And they can find me on my website and where I'm going to be at CocaBrown4Life.com.
Okay.
Thank you, Coca. Love you,
baby.
Coca,
love you, babe.
Proud of you.
Love you guys. I miss you guys so much, man. I miss B-more so much.
Y'all gotta bring her back.
For real.
Congratulations on the baby, too. I know the baby like 5 now.
Yeah, congrats on the baby. I know the baby like probably like 1 year old or something.
In school. And
right.
He's almost 2 in school. He is 18 months.
Yeah, he's a couple months behind Zoe.
Yep. We're
going
to hook him and Zoe up later if I can get Troy to open up his mind.
That'd be hard. Like I said.
You know I'm going to raise a dynamic.
I just want to set up an interview between me and the young man so we can talk about our differences first.
and I just warn you now, he's going to answer you with dip-a-dip. Look at that.
I understand it.
Hey, Coca, you catch Kevin Anthony on the wrong night, you get the same answer.
I cannot hear you right now. You really just said it out loud.
All right, thanks,
for those who know, it's a comedian, DC comedian he's talking about.
Well, love you, Coca.
All right, take it
love
easy, Coca.
You. Thank you. We've been blessed.
Love you, Larry.
Hey, man, let me tell y'all something. I had the pleasure of working with Coca in Detroit. Last year, amazing.
I know.
Her and Damn Fool, people left out of there saying, man, that was the best show I ever saw. It was incredible. I hosted Damn Fool feature and Coca just, I mean, we hit home runs, right? So people were like, how Coca going to fight? Coca went up there and destroyed. Like, they had a fire department to put the place on. She killed that joint.
Yes. All right, once again, about the play, real quick, I got 3 minutes.
Yep, you got 3 minutes.
All right, come out and see the play, November 2nd, 5 p.m., they're serving dinner, 6 o'clock, the show will start, and we're going to start on time. We're going to be like white folks, y'all. We will start this play on time, baby.
Make sure you get it.
It might be early, because I got to go.
Right, 4801 Libby Heights Avenue is at the Forest Park Senior Center, all right? We got a great
beautiful venue.
Yes, nice venue. Great dinner. We're going to decorate it, Larry. And then dinner's going to be served. You're going to have a blessed time. You got to come out and see this play. And it's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to make you want to beat Larry up when you see it. It's like, well, y'all see, I don't even want to tell. I don't want to give it away.
I get to play a bad person.
Yeah. I don't even tell you. You didn't tell them that.
I mean, I can at least say that.
Yeah. But play like this. Ladies going, they love Larry now. But when they say, I can't believe you, Larry.
We in Baltimore. We in Baltimore, Howard. They're going to love me even more.
We love a bad boy.
Right, right, right. They're going to be like, yeah, everybody can turn to
about that. I never really looked at him like that until this play. He can like to smack somebody.
Not all the ladies like that type of
look at Ice, it's the queen over there.
Yeah. All the ladies.
Y'all like bad boys that wear Kimmy oil. That's the only difference.
No.
You gotta be Ike Turner with some incense burn. That's the only difference between these natural hair care women.
No, Larry.
Coco's still on the phone. She was saying something.
I think Coco was trying to say something.
No, I was just saying, I saw Howard, that you're going to be somewhere in North Carolina doing a Clean County show where you dress up like somebody's grandmother. You ain't going to let that dress go, is you?
Right.
Don't talk about Coco. Coco was off hands.
Speaking to Tyler Perry, Tyler didn't put his dress up.
I told you.
And Howard went and bought the same dress at a rummage sale.
If y'all know it or not, I've been doing that longer than Tyler. Thank you. 19 years.
And look, I always say Howard's claim to fame is I've been wearing the dress longer than Tyler.
The first time I met Howard, I met him in that dress.
Right.
He was auntie for like 3 hours.
Right.
I said, you're a little old to be a drag queen, don't you think?
Howard then went on dates with that dress on.
My jaw is actually hurting.
Right. But that just goes to show how talented we are, how great we are. That's the theme of my show is tighten it, guys. And we would just tighten up with what we already have, the resources that we have, the beautiful talent we have. I like it when Coco, when you said, well, we respect everybody, because it takes everybody to make something successful. The person... Don't care. The one that's bringing you water.
Right.
You
can't even talk
in a dirty dressing room. Like,
you never know who Jesus is.
Right.
Never
know. Right.
It sure ain't David Koresh.
So now we got to close up. It's 2:00. My engineer is waving her hand. So again, we love the fact that everybody tuned in to the Tight Knit Movement. If you need any more information, please contact us at 443-655-7198. See you next Saturday.
Come see the play.
Come see the play, November 2nd.
And ISIS.
Come to Pink Strides tonight, or tune in Wednesdays.
Thank you for tuning in to Tight Knit Movement Radio. For more information on Tight Knit Baltimore, our affiliates, and events, email us at tightknitconnect@yahoo.com. That's tightknitconnect@yahoo.com. You can also reach us at 443-655-7198. That's 443-655-7198. Tight Knit Baltimore, more than just events, solutions.
1010 WOLB, where information is power.
WOLB Baltimore, a Radio 1 station where information is power.